I have a couple of updates to mention before we have our lesson. Miss Addie Farmer is home, but as expected, she's still in a bit of pain from the surgery. Now that she's gotten settled in, but she does appreciate all the flowers and cards and calls and all those things that you've done for her and will continue to do. And so we appreciate that very much, and she does as well. She's very thankful for all those things. And also Paula Lee Chance, as however you may know her, she, as you know, went home from extensive chemotherapy, in-hospital chemotherapy for about a month. And she was home now. She's going to have to do chemotherapy about every 3 weeks. And had a good report, though, from her biopsy that was done this past week. They were very encouraged by that test, and her blood cells seem to be producing well. So keep Miss Farmer and Paul Lee in your prayers this week, and all those that we have mentioned earlier. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another opportunity this evening to worship you. We're thankful for this beautiful weather in the springtime, and as we see the creation growing around us, we see the flowers and trees and all the things that are blooming. We are in awe of your creation and how creative you are and how beautiful this world is. We know we didn't deserve these things, but you've just given them to us, created this environment for us to use and enjoy, and we're thankful. We pray this evening that you be with Addie Farmer as she continues to recover at home from her recent surgery. We know she's in pain, and we pray that you ease that pain and restore her health. Continue to be with Paul Lee and her recovery from her chemotherapy, and we're thankful that she had a good test and pray there are many more coming in that regard. We also ask that you be with Randy Gupton and his upcoming surgery, this transplant. We pray that both surgeries go well, both in the giver and the receiver, and we pray that his kidney function is successful and he can have his lifestyle and health restored very soon. Continue also to be with Mildred Walker and Jay Newell. Continue to bless those who have been away from us due to travel and other things. We know there are many who are hurting for any number of reasons and haven't been with us. We pray that your hand of healing be upon them. Bless our study this evening, and may all that is said and done be to your glory and according to your will. We pray that through your Son you give us that mercy and grace that we need in order to be saved, and the forgiveness that's found in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we will study a big lesson from a wee little man. We know a song about that man, and that you sung in Sunday school when you were a small person. And tonight we're going to probably see a little clearer why this story is in the Bible. It wasn't designed to simply just be a Sunday school song or a vacation Bible school song. As is the case with every verse of the Bible, it's there to teach us something. And I think we see a lot about salvation. We see a lot about repentance. We see a lot about pursuing good things in this story. So I believe tonight the scriptures will bless us in this regard. And so we just want to go a verse or two at a time, and as we study this story of Zacchaeus, it begins in verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 19. The Bible says he entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. First word I want you to think about tonight regarding the story of Zacchaeus is the word sinner. And I know that word wasn't in these two verses that we just read, but it might as well be. And I suppose that word could also be in your biography one day. And not a sinner in the sense of a lost sinner. But 1 John chapter 1 tells us that if we say we have no sin, we're lying. So we all have sinned, we all will sin, and Zacchaeus was a human being just like we are, and he was a sinner. And he wasn't a sinner just by the virtue of being a tax collector, or the chief tax collector, as the Bible says. And he wasn't a sinner just by virtue of being rich. We live in a day and time when that's the view of some people, is looking at wealthy people that just by their very by their bank statements, they are somehow worse sinners than the rest. And they can, in fact, sin by way of their money. Paul had a lot to say about that with Timothy. He said, warn those who are rich in this present age, and went on to say some things that they should look out for. The number one thing he said was that they should not be conceited. In other words, be self-sufficient, think of themselves to be great people simply because they have a lot of money. So people can use money to sin, but there's nothing inherently wrong with having a lot of money. Abraham, extremely wealthy. David was extremely wealthy. Solomon, maybe the wealthiest man that we know of in Scripture. And all those things that they achieved and gained were by blessings of God. Zacchaeus here is a tax collector, and the people, of course, would refer to him as one of the, not just chief tax collectors, but chief sinners. We talked a lot about tax collectors, and in the case of the Jews, if you were a Jew and you worked as a tax collector, it meant you worked for the enemy. You worked for the Romans, and so you were despised by the Jewish people. You often took more than you needed to in taxes. A lot of these tax collectors acted like their own little governments and their toll booths all across the land of Palestine, the Holy Land. And if you came their way, they could many times charge you what they wanted, and there was really nothing you could do about it. But Zacchaeus was simply a sinner because he was like the rest of us. He was a human being. And there are many common sins today that we commit while we're many times pointing at the rich person or the murderer or the worst kind of people. I think if we did a survey, a consensus view today of the common sins, I suppose in our day and time it might be greed. In our day and time, in 2014 in America, it might be apathy, a spiritual apathy of, well, somebody else is going to do it, of, I don't need to really participate, put forth any effort, I don't need to have a personal relationship with the Lord by way of prayer and Bible study and service to other people. But remember what James says to the one who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it. To him it is sin. We call that the sin of omission, the sin of not doing something that you ought to do. That's a common sin today. A common sin also is the wrong type of judgment. We know there's a righteous judgment that Jesus talks about, and when we identify things that are right and wrong, that's a good type of judgment. The wrong type of judgment is what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, don't look at someone else and pick apart their life without recognizing the giant problems and sins that you have in your own life. We have a lot of that type of judgment going on in the world, where many are so concerned with what others are doing in their lives and their problems and what they do is wrong, while never striving to remove their own sins. Jealousy is also a major sin that's really never identified as a sin in our day and time. Because many times it's associated with the wrong type of judgment. While someone is picking apart someone else's life, that other person really isn't the problem. The problem resides in the one pointing the fingers who just happens to be jealous of somebody else. And instead of recognizing it as jealousy, they just try to pull down the other person and say, oh, it's them. Look at all that they do. And look at all the wrong in their life. We could go on and on, but it seems to me those are some common sins today. Zacchaeus was a sinner, and he needed Jesus in his life. And so we have verses 3 and 4. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. You can see Jesus passing through Jericho. He's walking through the town. Zacchaeus wants to see him, but he's too short. He can't see over the crowd, so he runs and gets ahead of the crowd, climbs up into a tree, because he knows Jesus is about to come by. It's just like walking ahead of the parade. Run down a little bit further and wait for the parade to come by, and that's basically what was happening in this scene. But notice he was trying to see, verse 3, trying to see who Jesus was. So here's a sinner who was trying to see who Jesus was. So many sinners don't try to see who Jesus was. They don't go try to see who he is. They run away from him. Run as far away from Jesus as possible. They say, I have too many sins. I'm embarrassed to show Jesus my sins. Feel like it's going to the principal's office. That dread about being held accountable. And I don't want to see Jesus. So they run away. So the second word that we need to think about tonight related to this story of Zacchaeus is the word seeker. Zacchaeus was a sinner, but he was also a seeker. It says that Zacchaeus was unable to see because of the crowd. He was trying to see Jesus, but he was unable because of the crowd. That was a real situation for Zacchaeus. I mean, he literally could not see Jesus by the time Jesus was going to come through. But for us today, since Jesus isn't going to come down the middle of Pleasant View, down Main Street, for us today, it's more symbolic. For us today is, who is standing between you and Jesus? What's keeping you from really seeing who Jesus is? Who's standing in the way? Now, I suppose that answer is different depending on the person. And this would apply to the lost person as well as the saved person. Are you really seeking out who Jesus is? Are you trying to get away from the crowd so you can really see who he is? See, the crowd is going to tell you all kinds of things about Jesus. See, that's the problem we have in so many circles today in the Christian world, is that so many people want to read about Jesus. They want to hear from the crowd about Jesus. But they don't open the Bible to actually read Jesus' own words and see for themselves. They get distracted by the crowd. And so a lot of people are led to a lot of false teaching because they listen to the crowd. They don't really go see him himself. They stand off by the side as a crowd shuffles by and Jesus somewhere in the middle, but they never try to see him. There are a lot of people in the world today that are lost and they don't see Jesus because they say, well, there's in the crowd are a lot of hypocrites, so I'm not going to go into a crowd of Christians because they're just hypocrites. So the hypocrites are standing between the lost person and Jesus. To others, it's life experience. You have a certain life experience that happens. And so that event stands between the person and Jesus. Any number of things could come up depending on the person. And they don't see him. All they see is the crowd. All they see is the clutter. But they never see him themselves. Zacchaeus was different. Zacchaeus said, I can't literally see him, but I'm not going to let the crowd keep me from seeing him. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to climb up in that tree. I'm going to see Jesus for myself. Imagine Zacchaeus in his world. Some say he was actually maybe even a dwarf, maybe even had a severe disability that caused him to be particularly short. Zacchaeus may have faced embarrassments in life prior to this day. And imagine maybe even some more embarrassment because he climbs up into a tree. How unusual that may have looked to the crowd and things they may have been saying. But he was going to see Jesus. People today have to do that, even if it's embarrassing, even if there's some other issue. Do what they have to do to see Jesus. You remember in Mark chapter 2, when the man was disabled, his friends take him to the place where Jesus is, and they can't get to Jesus because of the crowd. So what did they do? They went up on top of the house and cut a hole in it and led the man down to Jesus through the roof. Another group of people said, you know, here's a big crowd, but we're not going to get pushed away. We're going to do everything it takes to see Jesus. That may have been embarrassing for them to do that, but they did it. Jesus healed that man in Mark chapter 2. So we have a sinner in Zacchaeus. We also have a seeker in Zacchaeus, a man who's going to find Jesus regardless of the crowd. But now in verses 5 through 7, we see that Zacchaeus was sought. S-O-U-G-H-T. He was sought. Look at verses 5 through 7. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus was sought by Jesus. He looks up and says, I'm going to go to your house today. A couple of things to think about here. He says that Zacchaeus received him gladly in verse 6. Zacchaeus received Jesus gladly. Would you want Jesus to go to your house? Would you want Jesus in your house? And of course you say, well, of course I would. Spur of the moment, Zacchaeus wasn't ready for that. He was just trying to see him. And now Jesus is talking about coming over. What would Jesus see if he showed up tonight, knocked on your door, and said, I want to come in. I want to look around. I want to see what you care about in life. I want to see your priorities. I want to see what you're interested in. What would he find? See, the crowd, of course, as we said earlier, they complained about this. Jesus is not supposed to go into a house of a sinner. Not where a good person goes. You stay away from those people. See, Jesus never endorsed sin, but he gladly receives sinners. And we need to do the same. If we do the same, all we're doing is being like Jesus. We don't endorse sin, but we should receive sinners. We should associate with sinners. Again, not to endorse, not to participate, but to influence for good. Wasn't anything wrong with Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house to eat with him? Jesus said, of course, in other places, I didn't come here for the healthy people. I came here for those that are sick. This is a sick man, spiritually. He's why I'm here. See, the crowd, though, they don't understand that. And we can fall into that same trap to say, I'm going to live my life in a way where I am away from all the sinners forever. All the people that I think are bad, all the people that I think are wrong and whatever, I'm going to stay away from them. I'm wondering, how many people are we going to convert if that's how we do things? What if Jesus did that? How many would he have converted had he said, I'm going to only be with the best people around. I'm going to take resumes. I want people to show me how faithful they are. And then I'm going to make a list. And I'm only going to go to the houses of these people. I'm only going to talk to these people. He wouldn't have converted anybody. He would have never influenced the world that he lives in. Jesus came to this earth to find Zacchaeus. He came to this earth to find you. He came to this earth to find me. Zacchaeus knew that. He understood it. The last word I want us to think about tonight regarding Zacchaeus. He was a sinner. He was a seeker. He was sought by Jesus. And the last word is saved. Look at verses 8 through 10. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Here we have Zacchaeus as a truly converted person. Jesus was not just a novelty. Jesus wasn't just the sideshow attraction. See, a lot of people in the crowd were seeing Jesus that way. Oh, he's just a popular person. He's just the guy everybody wants to see, so I'm just going to go see him. Zacchaeus was converted. Zacchaeus told Jesus, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have defrauded anybody in my business and tax collecting, I'm going to give back four times as much. I don't know if he did that. The Bible doesn't tell us. He just says he's going to do that. I think Jesus, being Jesus, probably had a sense that he was going to do that, since Jesus had such a profound thing to say about him in regard to his salvation. I would assume that Zacchaeus followed through with these things. I don't know. But he's truly been converted. He's truly been changed by finding and knowing the real Jesus. Not just what the crowd was telling him about Jesus. Zacchaeus did some self-evaluation. See, he didn't talk. Notice, Zacchaeus didn't talk about things in his life that were on the fringes. He didn't talk about somebody else and their problems. He didn't say, Jesus, I'm glad you're here. You need to go see this other person. Zacchaeus looked in his own life and said, I have a money problem. He says he's going to do two things, and both of them relate to money. I'm going to give away possessions, and I'm going to give back things that I've wrongly taken. He looked at himself and said, here is the problem. So see, for somebody else, that may not be a problem. A lot of people don't have money problems. They're generous. They're not greedy. Their family's in good financial shape. They have good income. They don't have greed problems or any temptation to steal because they're in a tough situation. A lot of people don't have money problems. Some do. Your problems may be something else, entirely different. But I appreciate the fact that Zacchaeus instantly knew what he needed to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, Paul said, you've been sorrowful, not in a worldly way. He said, I'm thankful that you've been sorrowful to the point of repentance. Sorrowful to the point of repentance. I think that's what Zacchaeus did here, and it's not really what the rich young ruler did. Remember that story when Jesus talked to that man, and they talked about money. The rich young ruler didn't say, I know what I'm going to do. You told me I need to get rid of my things. I'm going to do that and follow you. No, it said he just went away sorrowful. Very different situation with him. There's a great change that happens in people's lives when they're converted. And for some, it's very difficult change. I'm sure for Zacchaeus, his life changed quite a bit. But it saved his soul. Jesus, while on earth, could save anybody he wanted to and forgive anyone's sin he wanted to. But Zacchaeus, a sinner, took the time and effort to seek Jesus. Jesus recognized it, saw it, someone truly converted, and that person was saved. The same method, the same basic process is true today. We seek Jesus in a different way, of course. What we need to do to be saved would be different than Zacchaeus was facing. But we need to recognize that we're sinners. We need to go toward Jesus, not away from him. We know that whoever comes to Jesus, he'll save. We're thankful for the Bible telling us how to do that. By confessing our belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of our sins, being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, living faithfully to him each day, we know that the Lord will prepare a place for us. If that's your need this evening, to become a Christian, or you need prayers, we encourage you to come now while we stand and sing together.